Good morning. My name is Anne, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to CreditoReal's second quarter 2014 earnings conference call. CreditoReal issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, July 23, 2014. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at 525-5228-9753. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not take account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, and company performance and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. Today from CreditoReal in Mexico City, we have Mr. Angel Romanos, Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Lorena Cardenas, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jonathan Rangel, Investor Relations Officer. And now I will turn the call over to Mr. Romanos.
Thank you, Operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us in our second quarter 2014 conference call. I have a very bad throat, so I'll try to be as clear as possible. Anything that you don't understand, we'll be very happy to answer your questions at the end. This quarter, once again, CreditoReal reached its objectives in terms of growth and strong profitability. Our loan portfolio increased 50%, and our quarterly net income increased 21% when compared to the second quarter of 2013. All our products reached double-digit growth rates during the quarter, with the strongest growth recorded in the auto loans and small business loans portfolio. I can state that the expansion of small business loans and used car loans will continue to spur the loan book growth while maintaining NPLs at our historical low rates of 1.5 to 2%. CreditoReal distribution network continues to strengthen day by day. During the quarter, we began an agreement with a recognized auto retailer with national presence to offer used car loans to its customers in more than 100 branches. As for our recent partnership with CRFACT, 8 new branches were opened during the quarter, and thus the used car financing model continues very successfully to grow in a controlled environment. Additionally, in the group loan business, our partners added 28 new branches to our distribution network, thus achieving a 38% year-over-year growth. We consider that our business model is enhanced by increasing our reach to customers, thus allowing CreditoReal to increase credit penetration on the underserved market segments. We are building a larger distribution network for used car loans also by exploring new market opportunities. We have begun to explore closely to offer used car loans to the Hispanic market in the south of the USA, particularly in the states of Texas and Florida. This will allow us to make a first step into the used car lending for the Hispanic market. It is important to remark that the Mexican market still represents a tremendous opportunity. It suffices to say that quarter over quarter we increased our used car portfolio 40%, and our loan origination increased to 60%. We are always keen to support our long-term loan portfolio expansion by enhancing our distribution network through new partnerships and alliances. Our loan origination once again expanded in an important way, 37% year over year, to reach 2.2 billion pesos this quarter, at 43% for the first half of the year to reach 4.1 billion. Used cars and small business loans significantly increased and now represent 30% of our loan origination when you do that on a monthly basis. Regarding payroll loans, our portfolio increased 37% year over year, regardless of the weak economic activity in the country. Our distributors proactively looked to diversify the customer base by reducing the portfolio exposure to some sectors and increasing its participation in the sectors of pensioners. We expect to observe results for this new plan in the coming quarters. Regarding the government-sponsored program, PANSEFI, to refinance CENTE teachers' loans, during the second quarter, 435 loans were prepaid for a principal amount of 12 million pesos that represents approximately 0.1% of Crédito Real payroll loan portfolio. Finally, it is important to remark that our payroll loan expansion will continue by reaching new agreements with government agencies, as well as by identifying and exploiting new market opportunities. During this quarter, Crédito Real fully adopted, in accordance with Mexican banking regulation, a new methodology to determine portfolio allowances based on expected losses. Our allowances increased by 239 million pesos, and such increase in allowances has been recognized in our shareholders' equity as specified by the banking rules. Overall, the change in the methodology strengthened the coverage ratio of allowances to non-performing loans. It's important to say that non-performing loans in the company have remained exactly the same as they were in the previous quarter. This is only a CNBV new measure for all the financial institutions in the country. And before I turn the call to review the financial performance, let me comment that we are very pleased to see that the stock market has been recognizing the company value and confirming the strengths in Crédito Real fundamentals. Our stock price has increased in price, our daily trading volume of our shares continues to grow and has been well above $1 million daily. Important to note that Crédito Real stock continues to trade at a significant discount against its peers. Today, we continue with our share buyback program that was announced from the previous quarter. With that, I will now turn the call to Lorena Cárdenas, our CFO, so she can run you through the financial information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ángel. Good morning, and thank you for taking part in Crédito Real quarterly conference call. As Ángel mentioned, the quarter was characterized once again by solid growth in our loan portfolio as our business model continues to reach new customers among all loan products. Regarding loan portfolio, the loan portfolio increased by 50% to reach 12,443 million pesos at the end of the second quarter 14, compared to a total in our loan portfolio of 8,298 million pesos recorded at the end of the second quarter 13. The loan book growth was driven by expansion in all our loan products. However, we observed a stronger expansion in SMEs, used cars, and group loans, which accounted for almost 50% of total origination, both in the quarter and year-to-date. Allowances for loan losses now completely adopted the changing methodology required by the banking regulation. Therefore, the allowances for loan losses increased to 153% according to the set expected losses methodology. In spite of the allowance increase, our non-performing loans reached 1.5% at the end of the quarter, slightly lower than 1.6% from a year ago. During the quarter, strong collections led to 53.5% decrease in the expenditure of provision for loan loss. Interest income. During the second quarter, we reached an interest income of 772 million pesos, increasing 22.6% when compared to second quarter 13. Accordingly, the year-to-date interest income increased 26.5% when compared to the first half of 2013. Financial margin. The financial margin increased 17% for a total of 533 million pesos, showing an interest income growth, while interest expense experienced a faster growth pace with a decreasing trend in our cost of funds. Similarly, year-to-date, the financial margin rose 25.3% when compared to the first half of 2013. Net income. Net income increased 21.3% during the second quarter 14, reaching 283 million pesos compared to 233.4 million pesos during second quarter 13. Consequently, the year-to-date net income increased 31.8%, reaching 597 million pesos. It is very important to highlight that this first half 2014 net income result of 597 million pesos is almost the same as the annual net income of 614 million pesos achieved during the full year of 2012. This performance confirms the significant expansion that Crédito Real has achieved since our initial public offering in October of 2012. Regarding key indicators, cost of funds. In the first half of 2014, our cost of funds has now reached 8.3%, a significant improvement from 9.5% recorded in the first half of 2013. Looking forward, we expect cost of funds to remain in a range between 7.5% to 8% as we continue to move ahead in our process to obtain a banking license. Non-performing loans. NPL ratio reached 1.5% at the end of the second quarter 14 compared to 1.6% ratio as of the second quarter 13. Crédito Real has consistently achieved superior asset quality than the sector average. Our long-term objective is to keep our NPL ratio between 2 and 3% as we keep diversifying the loan portfolio. During the first half of 2014, Crédito Real experienced a return on average assets of 7.4%. This 7.4% return on average assets is slightly lower than the 7.8% return on average assets recorded in the first half of 2013. Regarding returns, now the return on average equity was 26%, an increase when compared to the 23.9% of return on average equity achieved in the second half of 13. These levels of return on average equity show again Crédito Real profitability is among the highest within the Mexico financial sector. Efficiency ratio. The efficiency ratio showed an improvement, now reaching 26.1% compared to a 27.7% achieved during the same period of 2013, reflecting an increase in the financial margin while maintaining a lower growth in the administrative expenses. Our capitalization index now highlights the fact that the new capital continues to be used more efficiently. We have now reached 38.2 capitalization index compared to the 48.1 registered at the end of the second quarter 13. Before we open the call for questions, let me emphasize that the second quarter results once again bring certainty to our guidance and expansion plan. Today, we continue very confident as we benefit from a market opportunity and allow the Crédito Real business model to consistently deliver growth and profitability to our shareholders. With this, I conclude my remarks. Now, let me turn the call over to the operator. Operator, would you please proceed?
Certainly. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll take our first question from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Lorena. Thank you for the call. My question, just wanted to get a little bit more color on your net interest margin. As you've been seeing some pressure on the margin, over the last year or so. So if loan growth hadn't been so strong, net interest income could have been a lot weaker. I just want to understand maybe if you could get some more color on what's driving that. Are you feeling a lot of competition on spreads? Is it from the Bansefer refinancing, although you mentioned that was a very small impact in the quarter? So you just want to get a little bit more color on kind of the pressure on margins and how you see that evolving going forward as well. Thank you.
Hello, how are you? Yes, we are seeing the Bansefi program really hasn't taken a lot of customers from us. As we said, the past quarter, about 13 million were were prepaid last month and 12 million, 25 total in the year. But what the Bansefi program has accomplished, which we believe is good for the market after all, is a bit of rate stabilization. So we are seeing rates go a little bit down. They are stabilizing now. We don't believe that they will go lower than today. To give you an example, we were lending at about 2.8 to 3% on a monthly basis, and today our interest rates are between 2.5 and 2.6, and we believe this is a good level and they should remain around there. And the other thing you are seeing in our margins is the product mix. Our other products like used cars or the SMEs have a smaller interest rate, and the amounts of the loans are a bit larger than the payroll loans and all of our other loans. So you will start to see that having an effect on total margins. But our expenses on those products are also much cheaper than on the payroll loans. So at the end of the day, what we really concentrate on is ROA, and we believe we can remain with the return on assets around the levels where it is today. I hope that answers your question.
That's very helpful. We did see a slight increase in the funding costs in the quarter. I think that's just from the new issue of debt last quarter, given the full impact of that, I think, in the quarter. But overall, I think funding costs should continue to improve. I just want to make sure that the increase in the quarter, was it related to that, or is there anything else special on the funding side?
Cost of funds should continue to decrease as you're highlighting the benefit from the senior note we issued in the first quarter of 2014 is now reflected in this second quarter numbers. So we should continue to see our cost of funding benefiting from that.
All right, thank you very much.
We will go next to Benjamin Thurer from Barclays.
Hey, good morning, and congratulations first of all on the results. Actually, just one question, a little bit on your outlook for growth. And the press release, you mentioned that you're basically looking at a long-term objective to have NPL ratio somewhere between 2 and 3%, and right now we're somewhere at about 1.5% consolidated portfolio. So does that mean that you're some sort of looking with the expansion and what you mentioned, the used car business in the U.S., et cetera, to get into, let's say, profitable but also a little bit more riskier business in order to sustain decent loan portfolio growth and obviously, as a consequence, net interest growth? Thanks.
Hello, how are you? No, but we do saying that on the long term we'll be around 2-3% is being cautious, and we're trying new products, we're starting new lines of business. Normally when you start a new line of business, you're trying new things and the portfolio doesn't behave as it should behave on the longer term. But our goal has always been to maintain NPLs under 2%, and we say 2-3% is because we're always trying new things and trying new products and entering new markets. So you may have a bit of a spike once and then, but we're very, very careful. Remember, we see Crédito Real as a collection company and not as a lending company, and all of our products are developed and built thinking on how we collect on them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Chris Delgado from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, and good morning. Thanks for the call. I just wanted to, if you had any update on your banking license and kind of what's the ultimate goal with the license. Do you see yourselves closing the SAFOM and shifting the assets? I know you guys have some expectations for sourcing deposits, but wanted to get a sense of, of really what the long-term expectations for that entity is.
Hello. The process for the banking license is going as planned. We should be getting the first papers in the Comisión Nacional Bancaria during the third quarter of this year, at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. We should be getting a banking license 6 to 8 months after that. We really don't see any reasons why why we shouldn't get it. And the reason we are asking for a banking license is there's a couple of reasons. One, as a SOFOM, we're getting too big to be a SOFOM, and our funding will get more challenging if we keep being a SOFOM and growing our portfolio in the way we are. When we talk about getting deposits, we would concentrate on a market that doesn't need branches. We're not planning on opening a branching network that is very expensive to operate. So how we see the company, and this is really an idea yet, but we're building on it, is we want to keep lending to the lower end of the population, but we want to get deposits from the higher end of the population, because those people don't need branches, and all they need is a good internet system to make their banking. So we would focus on that market to get the funds.
So then, just to be clear,
potentially we foresee that through customer deposits we will achieve around 20% of our funding in the future once we have the banking license. And we do expect that the banking license will allow us to continue to increase our funding capacity and to decrease the cost of funds significantly. And that is what we're pursuing through following up with the banking license.
Got you. That's helpful. But and then just to be clear, though, some other entities, like I'll give an example of Banregio, run basically some lending out of a SOFOM and still have a bank. So I assume then your ultimate goal then is to close the SOFOM and just put all of your assets under the bank? Or is that something you're still deciding?
Yes, we're working through that strategy with our board and with the council, and we're learning how other banks do it and what's the best way. The only thing we don't want to do is to alter the way we operate the business today. So we will work something out in the way that we can keep operating and being as flexible as we are today with our operations.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll take our next question from Andres Adefred from Vipermas.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for answering my questions. The first one is concerning the growth in the loan portfolio seen in this second quarter. Do you keep the long-term guidance of 21 billion at the end of 2018? And the other one is considering the decline in the profitability of the loan portfolio, how would you expect this issue behaves in the rest of the year?
We do see very probable to be above 20 billion pesos by 2018. And as we said before on a question that was answered, we really concentrate on the return on assets, and we believe we can keep it around the level it is today.
And regarding our guidance, again, given that we're in the first half of the year and we're completely in line with our guidance, we're doing every effort to continue to deliver the guidance and continue with the strong pattern that we've so far achieved in this year.
Okay, thank you.
And once again, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1. We'll take our next question from Alessandro Arlant from Bank of America.
Thank you very much. Hello, Angel, Lorena. Thank you so much for the call. The first question is, given the strong loan growth that you have experienced year over year, and looking until the end of the year, can you expect it to be more on the organic side, or can we expect, for example, you adding more distributors, perhaps in the used car loan segment or in other segments as well?
Hello, Alessandro. From our growth pattern, so far this year we've achieved the growth through organic growth. Part of our organic growth, particularly in used cars and group lending, has been increasing our distribution network to be able to reach new customers for financing used cars. The partnership we signed in the first quarter with CRFAC and adding branches, CRFAC now operates through a brand name called Drive and Cash,
with 12 branches, and this branch network is originating more and more loans. On the group lending side, we increased our distribution with 28 new branches, and we continue to foster growth through now strategic alliances on the group lending. So that's part of our organic growth. For the second half of the year, we continue to look forward to expanding our loan portfolio in all five products and taking the market opportunities that we have and the benefits from having the successful business model, the alliances, the partnerships, and the knowledge of the market that we have so far achieved.
Okay, so more of the same of what you've been doing in the beginning of this year.
Correct.
Exactly, Alessandro. More of the same, which we really believe on this sentence the Americans have that says, if it's not broken, why fix it?
Okay, very well. The other topic I would like to just ask a question would be on the collection efforts that you had and looking at the new provisioning that you have. I mean, the loan portfolio is growing and you target, you know, higher NPLs because, you know, these new loans obviously will start to season. This collection effort seems to be non-recurring, or do you expect to have, you know, higher collections to balance out your allowance for loan loss provisions going forward?
Well, I mean, we just mentioned this. We want to continue to be very strongly in our asset quality, keep the performance of the portfolio. We always understand ourselves in all five products to correctly grant the loan, particularly benefiting yourself to collect. And that's part of the success we're so far having in financing used cars. The rationale for saying that on a long-term basis, our NPLs could be 2 to 3% is just that the proportion of payroll loans should potentially be lower than the 77% that it's now. And at the end of the day, you may be having, instead of 1.5, closer to a 2%. But it's just giving a guidance of a newer portfolio mix. This newer portfolio mix and a more diversified portfolio is already taking presence, and that is what we're also expecting on our non-performing loans.
Okay, and do you have like a target of coverage ratio on your past due loans? I mean, you have more than 200%, which is a very good ratio to have in terms of having coverage. Although the portfolio continues to grow, and although I suspect you'll have more impact on your credit costs through the provisioning line on the income statement, is this more or less the level you want to be, or this can fall as the loan portfolio continues to grow?
Really, this coverage ratio is based on the banking methodology. Again, as we strengthened our loan portfolio, the credit risk that we are taking, this methodology based on expected losses, if we are able to, based on this methodology, reduce the risk, that could potentially drive you to maybe a lower coverage. And you can compare this coverage to the rest of the financial sector, which I think is closer to 180%. But we will continue to apply the methodology. Again, always keeping very good control on the credit quality when we do our originations in a very disciplined way, doing the credit analysis among all five products.
Okay. Would you have a target of your provisioning versus average loans for 2014? Because I think it's and now it's a bit hard to look at your provisioning level, which fell on the income statement, but I understand that another part of that is being deducted from your shareholders' equity directly.
But what's being deducted from the shareholders is just the initial balance of the allowances of what you see in the balance sheet based on the new methodology. It's just the rating that you're doing based on expected losses for each and every account of almost 500,000 accounts and loans that we have actually currently in our loan portfolio. Based on expected methodology, your initial change you're seeing is getting reflected in your equity. However, what you see in the profit and loss statement really relates to the cost of risk, really relates to accounts that were charged off for more than 180 days, or the increase in provisions on a regular basis. So really, you can still compare your P&L to prior years,
and that is, I don't know if this explanation kind of helps you understand.
No, no, it's good. It's good. No, I understand. You had the first initial impact, and then you're going to have the delta quarter over quarter and, you know, time over time. Okay, that's a good. Thank you so much for explaining that, Lorena. And then my final question would be, I mean, you have a debt to equity ratio of, you know, 2.3. It went up from 1.9. I mean, you continue to grow the loan portfolio and the bond proceeds that you've raised on the funding side have been used over the quarter and, you know, should help you fund some more of the loans this year. But looking forward again, as you have to wait for the bank license until the first semester of next year, I could imagine that the funding strategy would be to increase debt as part of funding. Is there a ratio debt to equity that you have in mind or could give us a guidance for us where you would be leveraging the balance sheet?
I mean, we would really like both on the debt-to-equity ratio and our capitalization to see levels closer to pre-initial public offering. So those are more closely on the debt-to-equity level to 3.5% to 4% and increasing our leverage and using our capital more efficiently. On the capitalization ratio, we see more. We're currently at a 38%. We see the company more. Our expectation, again, bringing it back to the pre-initial public offering levels, closer to a 25 to 30% level of capitalization.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much, Lorena.
You're welcome, Alessandro.
Thank you, Alessandro.
Thank you, Angel. Bye-bye.
We'll go next to Carlos Ugalde from Signum Research.
Hello, good morning. Well, I have one question. It's about, if we are expecting an increase in interest rates for the next year, what could be the effect for your interest rate margin? Do you have an estimation or I don't know? And also, if this scenario is going to change your mixture of funding, could you give me an answer about that?
Of course, Carlos, good morning. From a funding perspective, we really like to mix our funding sources. Currently, we fund the company with issuances in the local and international markets and with bank credit lines. From time to time, we may fund ourselves with a fixed rate or a floating rate and with a shorter tenor or a longer tenor. We try to keep the quality in our debt portfolio, the same as having sufficient and an increase in our funding sources to support the growth and foster the growth that the company wants to achieve. Now, an outlook on interest rates, you know, has been very difficult to do, at least for the last 2 years. We have been expecting an increase in interest rates maybe for the last 2 years. That has not yet happened. And it is not quite clear. And the forward rates on the interest and the and as you see the trend in the yield curve, it's not exactly highlighting that in the next 6 months we're going to get an increase in the cost of interest. However, that is something that is very closely monitoring the company through our committees, and we are always looking at ways of having a portion of our debt portfolio fixed and a portion floating. And currently we have almost 85% of our portfolio floating, and from time to time we'll continue to evaluate if we consider fixing a larger portion of it.
Okay, perfect. And another question is about the cost of risk. Which will be the trend for the cost of risk? I mean, if you are going to change also you are going to diversify your portfolio, could we expect about the cost of risk? Is going to maintain around the 4%, 3%? Or maybe it's going to go up?
No, we don't expect that to go over. We're taking good control on our credit analysis process and on the quality of the assets that we're adding to our loan book. So that credit risk should remain.
Okay. Thank you a lot.
You're welcome.
And once again, it's star one if you would like to ask a question. At this time, with no further questions, I would like to turn the call back over to Jonathan Rangel for additional remarks.
We want to thank you, everyone, for your time at this conference call and your interest in our company. We also want to remind you that the Investor Relations Department is available for further questions or comments regarding this quarter results or overall company's perspective. We have also our email, investorrelations@creditoreal.com.mx, available on our website as well. So thank you, everyone.
This does conclude today's conference. You may now disconnect.